And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Anyhow. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour, buongiorno, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, now, go vegan. All we are saying is give vegan a chance. You can't have peace unless you go vegan, and there are big peace marches coming up next weekend, and details on those are coming up on today's program as well. We are from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria. What? Well, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first vegan radio program on air now for 6 years on radio stations whose owners obviously never listen, which is good. That allows us the ability to satirize most of the other advertisers who right now would be selling you a hamburger on this station if I hadn't hijacked the airwaves, that is, and veganized them for your protection. Had I somehow not raised the funds to bribe the owners to air this broadcast right now, no doubt you would be subjected currently to the impropaganda of the meat and dairy, pharmaceutical, and killitary industrial advertising message. Well, they may give you impropaganda. We give you propaganda. Propaganda, yes. Remember, George W. Bush eats meat. Gandhi did not. George W. Bush apparently has mad cow disease. Gandhi had sacred cow disease. Actually, not a disease. He had sacred cow enlightenment, let us say. You know, back when George W. Bush first invaded Iraq-Nam, the media carrying this broadcast were quite nervous about the content of this program in that warmongering, the pro-warmongering cheerleading environment. And the owners were basically freaked out. They were concerned that I might not be someone who's for liberation, that I might not support liberation, that I might not be for the liberation of the people of Iraq-Nam, who I am told would become, they'd welcome the liberators with flowers and chocolate. And to me, as long as, the chocolate weren't milk chocolate, but a good dark vegan chocolate, with no refined sugar and not filtered through cow bones, who wouldn't be for liberation? I mean, how many decades now have I been out on the streets chanting, what do we want? Animal liberation. When do we want it? Now. Yeah, so I'm for liberation. It sounded good. I'd love to see animals liberated from factory farms and research labs and fur farms and zoos and circuses. But, I've been so out of it that, I'm the one person on planet Earth who hasn't read the New York Times number one bestseller. What is it? Number one bestseller since January 2001. Apparently, everybody's read the new official New American Dictionary of English Usage and Definition, published by, who published this? This is by the Republier Con National Party Press? Huh? Yeah? Well, I finally got my hands on a copy, so here's that word liberation right now. Let's see, liberation defined as kill the oppressed and then kill them again. Asterisk contract for Halliburton. So, I don't know, that doesn't quite seem like the flowers and chocolate we were talking about, huh? What are the estimates now? Almost 700,000 Iraqis killed, liberated. So, what do we want? Animal liberation. When do we want it? Now. Well, I don't know. No wonder when we go protest against vivisection at UCLA or UCSF, we demand liberation and they kill more animals for profit and greed. And of course, they delay medical advancement at the same time. Maybe they think we're talking Bush speak at the time. So please, you know, when we demand animal liberation, please remember it is the traditional translation in English, although I know it is probably a violation of something. It's got to be a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act or the Hatred Act. I mean, the Patriot Act, not to exclusively use definitions today as outlined in the official New American Dick Cheney-Shinnery of English Usage and Definition, published by the Republikon National Party Press. Number one New York Times bestseller since January 2001, and also used by the New York Times and all American media at the moment. So many have come to understand that dictionary, the new Bush speak over the past few years, and so I'm trying to learn also. I see, you know, war is peace and last resort is first choice. Up is down, left is right. To bomb is to pacify. The war zone is a theater. I like that. Winning is losing. No child left behind is no child left with a behind. You have healthy forests means tree stumps. Elected is selected. And torture now will be called massage therapy. Okay? You got that? So torture will be massage therapy. And everybody, please repeat after me and pronounce after me. Get it right, would you? It's nuclear, okay? Nuclear, nuclear. Please get your pronunciation right. And you know, apparently with this now I learned, apparently we've already attained animal liberation by Bush speak, you know. 10 billion animals are liberated for food in this country every year. Millions every year liberated in research labs. Millions liberated, you know, by hunters. Anyway, so I guess we went to Arachnam to liberate, and that was because of 9/11, wasn't it? But, you know, there was never any connection. But we animal activists, we know that we can relate because every day is 9/11 for the animals, and every factory farm is Abu Ghraib for the animals, and you know every research lab is Guantanamo. So we have to march against injustice, and we have to march against the war. And next Saturday, it's in Los Angeles at noon at Hollywood and Vine. So you know, big weekend, a march on the Pentagon, and the peace activists there actually were able to get a permit to march on the Pentagon. There was some question about that. And next Sunday, the march is in San Francisco. San Francisco happening next Sunday at noon, Justin Herman Plaza, march to the Civic Center. So Saturday in L.A., Hollywood and Vine. Sunday in San Francisco, it's noon, Justin Herman Plaza, march to the Civic Center. And, of course, I will have my megaphone out there at the Peace March. I will be in at the L.A. one. You know, no blood for oil, no blood for meat. You know, we'll talk about how meat and warmongering are one and the same, and as we all try to end this horrible, immoral, criminal war in Arachnam. And how about we end the war on animals too, huh? In that war, though, in the war against animals, you eat the victims, and then you become a victim yourself, because meat and dairy kill more Americans, will kill more Americans this year, and kill more Americans every year than all wars combined. So please remember that as you have your dinner after the peace march next weekend, and perhaps if you know you're still a meat eater, you have the blood of a war victim dripping down your chin. And by the way, that is blood; it's not juice. Okay, you know, when you prick your finger, that's not juice. That's, you know, not juice you're dabbing off your chin with the napkin either, but you know, if you're gonna talk the talk, you know, in a peace march, how about walking the walk or living the lifestyle, because peace does begin on your plate. And well, we may not get peace in Arachnam next weekend. You can create peace in the world if you go vegan, and you can do it next weekend. Why not make a commitment to go completely vegetarian? You know, there is a definite connection between meat and war and violence, and a true association between meat and human belligerence. And there are reasons why armies are fed meat. And you can hear the scientific evidence on the Thanksgiving program that we had. You can go to goveganradio.com. The show is archived there. That's the one where we had Seth Tibbett from Tofurky. Go to goveganradio.com. It was the show at the end of November, and we talk about the scientific relationship between meat and belligerence. So we'll make our voices heard next week. Voices, of course, that are, are demonic, destructive, dysfunctional, diabolical dictator will choose not to hear. George W. Bush won't hear them either. Who is our dictator anyway, huh? Is it Dictator Cheney or is it Bush? Bush, the philanderer and thief. I mean, commander and thief. I mean commander in chief. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. George W. Bush eats meat. And Gandhi didn't, okay? Ted Nugent eats meat. Paul McCartney doesn't. But I digress. Anyway, I hope to see you at the Peace March in L.A. next Saturday. And please make it to the Peace March in San Francisco next Sunday, where we show real support for the troops, demanding that they come home from this illegal war, that they come home now, that they come home alive. Although, this past week, once again, we see those who give lip service to supporting the troops and nothing more. You know, it's bring them home. And then when we bring them home, it's bring them home to what? The kind of care that they get at Walter Reed Army Hospital, Army Medical Center. You know, who knew? That was what Ronald McDumsfeld always said as Secretary of War. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew what was happening at Abu Ghraib? Who knew what was happening at Guantanamo? Who knew what was happening at Walter Reed? Now, just because Walter Reed is in the same neighborhood, you know, George W. Bush, who occupies the White House, just happens to live in the same neighborhood as Walter Reed. You think he'd be visiting some of the troops who have been injured in his war, but nope. Who knew? We need an investigation, you know. Bob Dole, Donna Shalala, right? They'll do an investigation. Bob Dole is still alive, yes. The professional liars of government with their support, our troops, what they do. They send them underprepared and under-equipped into a meat grinder, and then they come back to be treated like a piece of meat, you know? And what do you expect from those with no reverence for life, human or otherwise? You'll see just how much those professional liars and war profiteers support the poor, disadvantaged people whom they have recruited with their slick and sick advertising campaigns. And yeah, who's going to support the troops, you know? What it's going to come down to is, you know, we'll be dropping a quarter in a cup of some armless, legless guy at the end of a freeway ramp who's holding a cardboard sign that says homeless Iraqi war veteran, you know? So who knows if the funds will ever be available for them? Do you know what the healthcare costs for Iraqi war veterans will be over the next few decades? Huh? Estimated at $600 billion. That for each American killed in Iraq, Nam, about 15 others are seriously injured or wounded. And everybody in this country better go vegan right now. You know, we talk about what sacrifices we have to make, going vegan isn't a sacrifice. But, you know, we can't afford the healthcare costs of meat and dairy and war. The hundreds of billions of dollars in meat and dairy expenses should be redirected to the victims of war. So please support the troops. Go vegan, you know? As I see it, warmongering, meat-eating, one and the same, you know? What this country really needs right now is vegan leadership. But does presidential contender Denis Kucinich, a vegan, get the media attention? Nope. There's someone who wants to create a Department of Peace of all things, and you know, I don't think that would have made him very popular. Did you see that conference last week? I was watching on C-SPAN. Did you see that gathering of conservatives? They were all in one place, and corporate media columnist George Will said of them that they were all carnivores. They were all carnivores out for blood. That was the characterization by George Will, huh? That they were all carnivores out for blood. No kidding, huh? You could see it on their pained, grimacing, constipated faces, only relieved by dropping bombs, apparently. I don't know, they really look like strange aliens to me. I don't know, who do nothing but practice the art of being mean. And, you know, they had their parade of pandering presidential candidates. You know, the question being, who will be mean enough to excite the base of the Republikan National Party for the next election? One of them seemed to be Rudy Giuliani. Well, what a surprise, huh? Whose simple description of our economy and foreign policy was incredibly revealing. You know, in the past, we've heard, you know, the question has been raised, oh, why do they hate us? Why do they hate us? And while Giuliani's description of us sounded harmless, it really, I thought, was pretty revealing. Giuliani basically said, to explain the United Stakes to the world, basically he said, we want to sell you something. We want you to buy a Coca-Cola. You know, we want to sell you a McDonald's hamburger. That's what Giuliani said. That's what we're about. We want to sell you something. We want you to buy a Coca-Cola, and we want to sell you a McDonald's burger. Now, I mean, it sounds harmless, but actually, I guess if you use the translation, the Dick Cheney scenario I was just talking about, and put it into Bush speak, you'll know that what he was basically saying to the world was that, you know, all that water that your country has, the farmers that are using for growing crops, no more. Sorry, it's ours now. We're going to make brown, sugary water out of it, and your kids are going to swallow it, you know. And if you don't do it, we've got a corporate army behind us that will make sure you do. And that water supply that used to be the communities, privatized now. You have to pay for your water. And no, you can't collect rainwater either. So, yeah, that's it on water. And, oh, what else did Giuliani say to the world? Oh, we want to sell you a McDonald's burger. That's what he said, huh? So we consult the Republican dictionary. What he's saying is, you're so ignorant of what good nutrition is, what good food is, and your kids are going to swallow what we give you, and they will get sick from it. And imagine how that show played in India, huh? Yeah, we want you to buy a McDonald's burger. That's basically what our country is all about. We want to sell you a burger, and we want to sell you, really, what brutality on a bun. That's what we want you to have, brutality on a bun, and you'll eat it, and we'll torture countless animals. I mean, we won't torture countless animals. We'll give massage therapy to countless animals. Huh? You thought Abu Ghraib was bad? Guantanamo? Hey, we got it for you on a bun. So please, all we want you to do is buy a McDonald's burger. And you're all used to brutal beheadings anyway. Well, here you go. A beheading on every bun. Every animal must be beheaded to make it there. So that's the political scene from Giuliani. I would like to see less death in the world and less killing, you know, fewer killings. So today we'll explore that in just a few minutes. Our guest today is Nathan Winograd. We will address the concept of no-kill shelters, no-kill advocacy. You know, in Los Angeles every year, what is it? It's close to 50,000 dogs and cats who are killed. Why? Because they don't have a home. Nationally, it approaches 5 million animals. Is there an alternative to all the killing that goes on? Well, in just a few minutes, we will talk to Nathan Winograd about that. He has a lot of experience, hands-on experience, actually, in being a director of no-kill shelters, including in San Francisco at the SPCA. We'll hear what progress he made there and his, how this all started for him, and what does it look like for LA, okay? So, and I also want to remind you, as I said before, we do have to pay for the airtime. This isn't free. Free speech is quite expensive, and I have to write checks today to the radio stations, and you can help me with a tax-deductible donation. You can donate online at goveganradio.com or goveganradio.org, or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. Tax-deductible, as Go Vegan is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. Please, I need your support. You know, you just had a big fund drive, all the public radio stations with fund drives and raising millions and all. This is the grassroots effort, and I need your help. There's no major corporate backing for this, and if you just heard what we talk about on this program and support the concept of compassion on the radio, please make a donation. I thank you, and I thank you for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And we have Nathan Winograd coming up shortly. No-kill solutions to companion animal homelessness. Stay with us on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and please stop eating animals, stop wearing animals, and buy cruelty-free. Okay, also throughout this weekend, I'm hanging out a lot in Anaheim at the Anaheim Convention Center. It's a natural products expo. What a wonderful gathering it is. You see all the natural products, all the organic and vegan products that will be hitting the stores soon. Amazing. And I always like stopping by the Follow Your Heart booth there. They're always cooking up amazing things. Wonderful pizza all the time using the vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt. You can have enchiladas and nachos, and pizzas turn out great with vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. What I do is I melt the vegan gourmet cheese, the mozzarella, in a little bit of soy milk, and that seems to work really nicely. Have eggplant parmesan if you want. And no, you don't have to dip your eggplant in egg. You know, you can soak it in soy milk and then use breadcrumbs. Yeah, really good that way. So Follow Your Heart gives us vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, also the vegan mayonnaise, which is Veganaise. And stop giving your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken from Follow Your Heart.
Want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
Yes, indeed. Talk to you next week about something I just experienced in Southern California related to bird flu and bird flu worries in the park. The park where people were always feeding the ducks and geese, now they're saying, no, don't feed them because we have concerns that bird flu is going to turn up. Well, we'll talk about that next week. Right now, I want to talk to you about three amazing restaurants in the Los Angeles area. Three amazing restaurants. You want to incorporate more organic, raw, vegan, delicious food into your diet? Affordable, raw, organic, vegan, delicious food? Then you want to go to Leaf Cuisine. Leaf Cuisine now has three Los Angeles area locations with wonderful food. You go listen to the program from a couple of weeks back with David Wolf on raw food. I think you'll find it interesting. GoVeganRadio.com there. Here's where you can experience, it's really, an amazing movement that's going on now in raw living foods. And listen to what's on the menu. You can also check out the menu at leafcuisine.com, leafcuisine.com. Appetizers, for example, raw slaw, hummus, seaweed salad, guacamole, taco Mexicano. There's the mock salmon nori rolls. Enjoy the soup of the day or the Middle Eastern lentil. You have organic fresh squeezed juices. Homemade agave ginger lemon tea is quite delicious. Wonderful wraps and salads like the Garden Delight, the Bedouin Burrito. The veggie sun burger is great. The flying falafel. The Bombay Burrito is very popular. The Mediterranean Medley. So many choices, huh? Holy moly, guacamole. How do you choose? Well, there is the Trinity Sampler, so you can get a bit of a selection and see what you really like, and you'll like a lot of it. I mean, great food there. House specialties include pizza, kale salad, lasagna, pad thai. There are delicious smoothies. My favorite is the Tropical Trip. Mango, papaya, pineapple, banana, dates, coconut milk. Wonderful. Check out the website. It's leafcuisine.com. The desserts, they're vegan. That means they're dairy-free. They're also wheat-free. You have chocolate brownie, carrot cake, purely parfait. There's the strawberry mousse tort, apple pie, the Oreo pudding. And again, all vegan. And look for Leaf Cuisine foods packed fresh daily at retail outlets throughout the LA area, including Erewhon Natural Foods, the Santa Monica Co-op, One Life in Santa Monica, PC Greens. Check the website, not goveganradio.com. No, it's leafcuisine.com for information and where to find those. And the three restaurants, well, in L.A., 11938 West Washington Boulevard, a few blocks west of the 405, just east of Inglewood Boulevard. Leaf Cuisine's open 7 days a week. Also in Sherman Oaks, 14318 Ventura Boulevard at Beverly Glen in the Oak Ridge Plaza. And the new location in West Hollywood, 8365 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's two blocks east of La Cienega at the corner of Santa Monica and Kings Road. And check it out. Go to the website. It's leafcuisine.com.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
That's the truth. Okay, and also spending a lot of time this weekend out at the Nutru booth at the Natural Products Expo with my good friend Jim Donovan, who's a big supporter of this show. Please thank Nutru by buying their products. And, of course, what you should be buying is Omega Zen 3. It, if you're into the essential fatty acids, if your fatty acids are a little fishy, too bad. There's the risk of contamination. You're depleting the oceans. And now you can get a vegan Omega Zen 3. The source of the omega-3 fatty acids is plant-based. So eliminate the middle fish. Get it directly from the algae. The only reason the fish have the fatty acids is they're eating the algae. So eliminate the middle fish. I believe you will be happy you did. And pick up Omega Zen 3 at Whole Foods. Check out the website, Nutru.com, Nutru.com.
Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue on the planet's first vegan radio program. And today we are very happy to welcome Nathan Winograd. He's a graduate of Stanford University, founder of No Kill Solutions, nokilladvocacycenter.org. Today we're going to examine, is there a solution to what goes on in the pounds? 5 million dogs and cats killed in this country every year, almost 50,000 in pounds around L.A. Is there a solution? Let us see. Nathan Winograd, welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure.
Okay. So how does this begin? I mean, I think a lot of people thought that... The solution to pet overpopulation has to be euthanasia or killing. How have we come to this anyway? How have we come to shelters and what happens and where did this all begin?
Well, actually, when the humane movement first started, like many social movements, the original founders had a very different vision than the one that ultimately came to be. Henry Berg was the first person in the United States to actually start a humane society or an SPCA. And interestingly enough, at the time, this is the 19th century, the SPCA started for many reasons. One of them was to protect dogs and cats, but they also had a platform against hunting. They were against vivisection and a whole host of things. And unfortunately, while some of the organizations have become very large and very wealthy and very powerful and influential, they are now staffed by people who have none of the zeal of the original founders. And, somewhere along the way, we made the tragic mistake of moving from compassionate oversight of the pounds to running the majority of kill shelters. And rather than try to reduce the killing or eliminate the killing and make the process more humane, we became, as a movement, the actual killers of these dogs and cats.
Hmm. And Nathan Winograd is the former director of the Tompkins County SPCA in New York. That's the Ithaca area. And for the San Francisco SPCA, what attracted you to address these issues yourself?
Well, for me, I actually went to law school wanting to do some type of animal rights law. While I was in law school, I happened to hear somebody calling a bunch of cats. It's an unmistakable sound. You know, it's a high-pitched kind of baby talk, and I looked out my dorm room window and saw a woman feeding what I came to learn were a bunch of feral or wild cats that lived on the Stanford University campus. And in my interactions with them and getting involved with feeding the feral cats on the campus, I got a real kind of hard lesson in animal sheltering in the United States. At the time, the university wanted to trap what they estimated were around 500 feral cats and have them killed by one of those exterminator companies. The staff and students and faculty who fed the cats, you know, went to the local shelter to ask for help, and the local shelter actually said, yes, they should be trapped, and no, the exterminator shouldn't kill them. They should be brought to a shelter, and, you know, our shelter, and we'll kill them because they were feral and quote-unquote unadoptable. And those same faculty, staff, and students who were caring for the cats turned to the nation's largest humane organization and asked for their help, and, in fact, they said, yes, the feral cats should be quote-unquote euthanized. I mean, they should be killed, although they claimed that a shelter would do it much more humanely. For cat lovers like myself and the other people on campus, this was anything but humane, and rather than go into some of these other areas of animal rights law, I, at that point, turned my full attention to trying to end the killing of dogs and cats in shelters.
Mm. So how did you come to be the director of the Tompkins County SPCA in New York?
Well, I mean, I think coming into the industry of sheltering with no prior experience other than a love of dog and cats and actually, in my view, an animal rights orientation, I didn't come in with the baggage of, well, we have to kill or this is the way it's always been done or there's no alternative. And so I saw a problem and a goal I wanted to get to and started to put in place programs and services to meet that goal. And I actually happened to get a job initially just doing contracts and some law-type work for the San Francisco SPCA under a man who at the time was committed to ending the killing of at least healthy homeless dogs and cats in San Francisco shelters. And after working there for a while and moving my way up to director of operations, the opportunity came to take over animal control in upstate Ithaca, New York, and I wanted to prove that no-kill was not just this theoretical goal or some goal that we reach at a mythical point in time in the future, but could be achieved and could be achieved very quickly. And so I took over Tompkins County, an animal control shelter in upstate New York, and started putting in place the programs and services that were so incredibly successful in ending the killing of healthy dogs and cats in San Francisco and took them to rural America.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started and what did happen?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it starts with the animals right in front of you. It's actually a very interesting story. My first day on the job was June 11th, 2001, and as I pull into the parking lot for the first time as the new director, I met in the parking lot by a trucker who had a box with five kittens inside, and you know, basically he was waiting for the shelter to open. He didn't want them anymore. Spaying a cat, his cat, was not a priority. What happened to the kittens was not his concern. He felt that by giving them to us, they were now our concern or our problem. And really, that's where the breakdown in traditional sheltering breaks down. That's where most shelters would say the fault, you know, we have no choice but to kill these kittens, and the fault lies with the guy who didn't spay his cat. And I took it that once they were in my hands or in my care, that whether they lived or died was up to me. And so I started to put in place a series of programs like, you know, not just being open 7 days a week for adoptions, which most shelters are not, putting in place a foster care program where kittens and puppies who are too young or ill or injured can go into private homes temporarily, like a foster care situation, which most shelters don't have, providing free spay-neuter for the pets of low-income community households and for feral cats, and a whole series of programs that allowed us to raise money, adopt more, and reduce the number of animals coming in, and at the end of the day, very, very quickly, reduce the death rate in a rural community by 75% in 2 years and achieve achieve the nation's first no-kill community.
Wow. So, how was it paid? Did the community support it then, or
the community supported it? Here's you know the block that traditional shelters get into is they see the public as the source of the problem, and it is true, Bob, that shelters are filled with animals in large part because of public irresponsibility. But there's another segment of the public that is very compassionate, at least when it comes to dogs and cats. By appealing to that community, and not just as typical shelters do, just, you know, say the public's irresponsible, there's nothing we can do, we have to kill, telling the community, with your help, we're going to end the killing. And here's very specifically what we need you to do. One is to be foster parents. Two is to adopt out older animals or animals with impediments to adoption. Three is to provide funding for these very specific programs. And the community rallied, and it rallied in San Francisco. It rallied in, you know, rural upstate New York. Since leaving Tompkins County, I've worked with a number of shelters around the country. Charlottesville, Virginia, a community in the South, which, you know, when you talk about the South in this business, people say, well, there's more antiquated views of animals there, and that might be in certain categories, but Charlottesville, Virginia is now a no-kill community, saving 92% of all the dogs and cats that go into animal control, so that the only dogs and cats being killed are those that are hopelessly ill or injured or truly vicious dogs. And it's worked in Philadelphia and increasingly in other places. And so while, you know, being sympathetic and to all these other animal rights issues, while this country lags in those other areas in terms of, you know, veganism and vivisection and all those issues, we are, Americans as a whole, tend to be very compassionate and can be when it comes to dogs and cats. And actually, that's why I think this issue of no-kill animal sheltering is vital to the larger animal rights agenda, because it is the bridge that gets people who are passionate about their dogs to start thinking about these other animals.
Right, because, you know, dogs and cats are food, too. If you were in Korea, you know, we're saving food animals here, in a way, because in Korea and China, they're being eaten. And here, you know, it would be nice to extend the compassion for dogs and cats to pigs and chickens and cows also, which would be wonderful. And you're a vegan yourself, right, and your family? And
Both myself and my wife, and actually our two kids. Our two kids have been lifelong vegans.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you look at animals as individuals. So the shelters aren't like massive numbers to you. You think in terms of individuals.
Well, not only that, I mean, but in terms of you and you having this issue talked about on your show, it's, you know, Bob, I got to tell you, it's a real breath of fresh air, because one of my concerns is someone who started out, you know, as on the path to saving animals with these larger animal rights issues. I mean, I didn't start out saying I wanted to save dogs and cats in shelters. I just, you know, through my life experiences, moved in that direction. But one of the things that has been incredibly disappointing to me is how the larger animal rights movement, which would never tolerate the killing of chickens and cows and pigs, somehow seems to think, you know, shrug their shoulders and say there's no other way when it comes to dogs and cats. And so I'm actually very grateful that being a vegan and animal rights radio program, you are considering the interests of dogs and cats on your show.
Well, I'm interested in not killing and nonviolence.
Absolutely.
And saving animals, you know. But I've heard the concerns of others, and, you know, it's strange. I was on the board of directors of an organization when I lived in Seattle called PAWS, a very respected organization with a wildlife rehabilitation center, but it also euthanized homeless dogs and cats, and I had a real problem with that. It just seems something, you know, how do we get around it, though? And then there are really caring people in the movement who say, well, you have a no-kill shelter. All the ones who can't be adopted will go elsewhere. Other shelters will fill up other pounds. You know, it's warehousing. There'll be warehoused animals. Who's going to take care of them? They'll be in cages all their lives. I mean, Are they totally wrong, or?
They are totally wrong, and I'll tell you why. First of all, you know, the shelter I ran in Tompkins County was an animal control shelter, so by law we were required to take in all animals. Now, one of the problems may be the term itself, no kill, because at the end of the day at Tompkins County, we did kill dogs and cats that were hopelessly ill or injured, rigorously defined, and we did kill truly vicious dogs. But at the end of the day, 93% of all the dogs and cats that came through the shelter were adopted, and that included, you know, animals missing limbs, animals needing surgery, older animals, animals with behavior problems. And if you look at Charlottesville, Virginia, which is, you know, an animal control shelter in the South, it is also in that same vein, saving all those animals, about 92% of animals a year. So unfortunately, the reality is, there will always be some animals, or dogs and cats in particular, who are too sick, too injured, or too vicious to be adopted. The problem is that the large national organizations who focus on companion animal issues have historically not endorsed no-kill or the success in places like San Francisco, Tompkins, and Charlottesville, and so they haven't promoted it as a model for other communities to follow. And they've not used their significant resources to help other communities follow the no-kill philosophy and the programs and services that make it possible. So in my view, it will take longer than necessary to achieve a no-kill nation, not only because they haven't supported it, but in some cases they're still opposed to it. And in my view, the big goal here, particularly for animal rights activists, is we've got two kind of populations that are the mirror image of each other. In one case, we have the American public at large that tends to love dogs and cats, but may be less sympathetic to chickens, cows, pigs, and other animals. In the case of animal rights people, they are really passionate and focused in their advocacy on chickens, pigs, and cows, and those other animals, but more forgiving of killing as to dogs and cats. My hope, and that, again, why I think this program that you're doing here on dogs and cats is so incredibly important, is how do we marry those two populations? I mean, that really is the goal of making sheltering an animal rights issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know animal rights activists love dogs and cats, and maybe it's something we just felt we had to accept as, you know, that's the way it is, you know, because killing is certainly easier than going to all the effort, right, of, you know, off-site adoptions and the free, you know, but, you know, we got to do it.
Absolutely, and that's interestingly enough, you know, I've visited, I would say, no less than 50 or so shelters in the last year and a half, and I'm still searching for the shelter that has implemented all those programs and services rigorously. And when they don't, when a shelter director says, well, I don't want a foster care program, or listen, I don't want to be open 7 days a week for adoption, or I don't have the funding, whatever the reason, you know, that's local government or the shelter saying a certain level of killing is acceptable. Because if they did all those things, that the number of animals killed would plummet, as we have shown over and over in communities that have implemented both the philosophy of no kill and the programs and services that make it possible.
And no kill, I guess, would include kind of an aggressive approach to media, to getting the word out and getting adoptions. And
yeah, I mean, you know, usually in a community, the only time you ever hear about your local shelter is when there's some scandal or controversy. And wouldn't it be nice to hear about all the wonderful things your shelter is doing? And in fact, shelters have not been proactive about this. Let me tell you this story about a dog named Lorenzo. There was a dog named Lorenzo in a Missouri shelter, and the shelter claimed it had no choice but to kill this dog because he had been sitting in a kennel for 2 weeks and no one was adopting him. And because, you know, in their view, there were too many dogs, Lorenzo was slated to be killed. Somebody at the shelter, actually a volunteer, contacted rescue groups and said, can you help Lorenzo, can you take in Lorenzo? And while none of the rescue groups came forward, one of them put Lorenzo's picture and his story on their website and put out a press release. And guess what? all the shelter started getting all these calls about Lorenzo, and Lorenzo and other dogs got adopted. Now, there is a dog that would have been killed and sacrificed to this notion of pet overpopulation when, in fact, his story, like the story of thousands of others like him in San Francisco and Tompkins and Charlottesville, prove the importance of not just aggressive media, but aggressive adoption programs and public relations and using volunteers and partnering with rescue groups and all those programs that are in incredible short supply around the country because shelters aren't implementing them.
Mm. We're talking to Nathan Winograd. NoKillAdvocacyCenter.org is the website, NoKillAdvocacyCenter.org. I presume that, you do consulting work. You would like communities to reach out to you, and you want to help them move toward the no-kill.
Absolutely. And, I've worked with communities like Philadelphia and Charlottesville and up in Eugene, Oregon, and around the country. Actually been to some places in the country that I never thought I'd ever visit, from, the deepest parts of rural Georgia to, big metropolitan cities. But I also talk at conferences, and I'm actually going to be part of the Animal Rights 2007 conference that's coming up in July in Los Angeles.
Yes, indeed. I'm speaking there, too.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah. I know what you're going to be talking about. I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about.
I'll be talking about no-kill sheltering as an animal rights issue.
That's what I thought you might be talking about.
My goal is to, what happens a lot, and this happened to me when I was doing a presentation at UCLA Law School there on animal rights law. And there were a bunch of would-be lawyers in the room, and they were all thinking about going into some type of animal rights law, addressing the food animal issue and vivisection and factory farming and hunting, which are all great programs and great goals. But what was disappointing to me was that not one of them was interested in going into sheltering as a career. And when I asked them why, the number one reason, in fact, the only reason given by all of them, was they didn't want to kill dogs and cats. And my goal is to demonstrate to animal rights people, particularly young activists, to consider this as a career because they can make a very real and immediate impact on the lives of animals because there is another way to sheltering than killing. And then using the saving of dogs and cats as a bridge to get the people in their community to start thinking about these larger animal rights issues like hunting, factory farming, and all the rest.
Yeah, definitely. So to make the shelter a happier place would be amazing, because I think that's the problem. We all find it just such a sad place. I had a friend who lost her dog, and I was nominated to go around to shelters looking, and it's heartbreaking to me. We have just a few minutes left, and yet I wanted to... I don't know if the subject is too controversial to approach, but L.A., people are very unhappy with the current general manager of L.A. Animal Services, Ed Boakes, and I see emails all the time going by accusing him of changing statistics in past jobs and wanting to move toward no-kill. What progress can be made in L.A.? Is there any hope in L.A. at the moment that we know of? Or?
Bob, I really believe that a no-kill nation, whether in Los Angeles or anywhere else, is an inevitability. The sad thing is that in some places, like Los Angeles, it's going to take longer than in other places, and the longer we delay, the bigger the body count. The bottom line is, people can make all kinds of claims, and they can say they're doing all kinds of things, but there is no community anywhere that has not seen death rates plummet if they've rigorously implemented a lot of these programs that I talk about and that I refer to as the no-kill equation. And there are a series of programs and services. The reason so many animals are dying, not just in L.A. City shelters but L.A. County shelters, is because regardless of who's been the GM, those shelters have not made a commitment to a lot of those programs. I mean, they have some of them in name only, but if you show up to the shelter, customer service is going to be poor. The shelter is not going to be as clean as it should be. It's less inviting to the public. If you say, my dog, I want to surrender my dog, they don't ask why. Is there something we can do to help you resolve whatever problem you're having short of surrendering the animal? I mean, shelters that have put in place those kinds of programs have seen the number of animals impounded decrease by as much as 30% very, very quickly. And the less animals you're taking in, the more, obviously, that you can save. And so all those programs have not been implemented with rigor, either in L.A. City shelters or L.A. County shelters. And that is why 50,000 animals are being unnecessarily killed each year in city shelters. And until the leadership of those shelters or the citizens of LA demand that the leadership of those shelters implement those programs with rigor, 50,000 animals will always be killed in the city of LA.
Well, that's tragic when we can try to do better. We have maybe 30 seconds, but there's an issue, temperament testing. Is there anything to be said for that in a moment?
And I'll say this, and then maybe we can talk about it another time, but be wary of the word adoptable, because the word adoptable is used to shift dogs and cats who can be saved into this category of unadoptable, and so that when people hear, well, we're saving most adoptable animals, they think the shelter is actually saving most of the animals. But what's happened is all these very healthy and very, very truly adoptable dogs and cats are being temperament tested into, you know, barrels and body bags. So it's something that there's a right way to do it. Most shelters are doing it wrong. There's actually an article on my website that if people want to find out more about it, they can read it, and so that they can be vigilant and make sure the shelter is actually saving the animals as opposed to merely defining them away.
Because they're poking the dog, or isn't that part of, I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's a whole host of things, but some shelters literally walk by a dog that has just come in off the street, has no idea where he is, and they bang on the side of the cage, and if the dog cowers, well, he's been temperament tested and proved to be unadoptable. I mean, that to me is a dog who's scared of a new environment.
That's a natural reaction. I would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's insane. So let's try to bring more sanity to the world and at least try. I mean, we got to try.
No kill is a philosophy to be embraced.
Okay.
And because it is an animal rights issue and the animals deserve it.
It's Nathan Winograd and the website nokilladvocacycenter.org, nokilladvocacycenter.org. Hopefully we got to just about everything, but we'll have to have you back if not.
So. I would love it.
Okay, thanks so much, Nathan.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, take care. Woo! The clock is moving fast. Let us get into the community calendar. If you're an animal rights organization or vegetarian group, you have an event coming up, you need flyers, you need posters, whatever you need, you have a printing job that needs to be done, you get it at a discount because of your good work, and that comes from Shalom Printing in Sherman Oaks. Shalom Printing at 15133 Ventura Boulevard, 818-905-6413. The email shalomprinting@aol.com. You get a discount for your good work from Shalom Printing. Also, wherever you might be, out and about, wherever on this planet, if you want to know where the nearest natural foods vegan-friendly restaurant is or natural food store, go to happycow.net. Happycow.net. So if you're heading near or far, wherever in the world, definitely check it out, okay? 30 international demonstrations are happening to protest the Canadian harp seal massacre. That's coming up this Thursday, March 15th. A couple of demonstrations going on. The massacre of over 300,000 baby seals starts in March annually. Here it goes again. So the protests are happening this Thursday, March 15th, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. in Los Angeles, at the Canadian Consulate, which is at 550 South Hope, the corner of 6th and Hope. And in San Francisco, that's happening at noon this Thursday, March 15th, at the Canadian Consulate, which is noon to 1, and it's happening at 580 California Street. You can visit harpseals.org or boycottcanadianseafood.org. Also, the protest goes on against Dead Lobster restaurants. Dead Lobster restaurants are the ones who are the greatest customers for Canadian seafood, and there will be a protest at the Dead Lobster in Torrance. That's next Saturday, March 17th, at 21233 Hawthorne Boulevard in Torrance. Great American Meet Out is coming up. It's the first day of spring every year. This year, recognizing the connection between meat eating and global warming. So check it out. Go to farmusa.org, farmusa.org. You can still do a Meet Out event. They're happening all over the world. Get involved with this. There is a Meet Out event happening next Saturday, the 17th, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Join the San Francisco Vegetarian Society as author of The Joy of Vegan Baking. Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, founder of Compassionate Cooks, speaks on getting to the meat of the matter, debunking the top 10 myths about vegetarianism. It's a $10 donation. It's at the First Unitarian Universalist Center at 1187 Franklin in San Francisco. That's next Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., a meet-out celebration, okay? Sunday, April 1st, noon to 4, it's the Fiesta por los Animales, a celebration of the birthday of vegan Cesar Chavez. There'll be farm tours available in Espanol at Animal Acres. Vegan Mexican food. Also, the speaker is Christine Chavez, granddaughter of Cesar Chavez. $5 for adults, $3 for children, under three free. AnimalAcres.org is the website. You can register to be there. Volunteers are needed. Check it out. That's 5200 Escondido Canyon Road in Acton. So Sunday, April 1st, Fiesta por los Animales, celebrating the birthday of Cesar Chavez. World Week for Animals in Laboratories coming up last week in April. Big demonstration at UCLA, Monday, April 23rd, noon to 2 p.m. Meet at noon at Westwood and LeConte. Let's see, what else can I tell you about here? Yes, we were talking to Nathan Winograd about the wonderful Animal Rights Convention that is coming up in Los Angeles. It's July 19th through the 23rd at the Westin LAX Hotel, and it's basically the world's largest and oldest animal rights conference. 100 sessions, including workshops and rap sessions and reports, and 80 speakers from all sectors of the animal movement. We'll be talking about the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, celebrities, activist awards, great videos and vegan meals and musical entertainment and a big banquet. And you will definitely want to be there. I'm one of the speakers also. July 19th through the 23rd, Westin LAX Hotel. Go to farmusa.org, farmusa.org. Right now, available early registration. Early registration, in effect, right now, it's just $120. But if you mention Go Vegan with Bob Linden, mention this radio show, you get $20 off. So it's just $100 for registration, farmusa.org. Save $20. Donate it to the show if you save it, huh? You can do that. Or go buy yourself a nice meal at Leaf Cuisine, whatever you want to do, okay? Or, it'll put it in your pocket and donate it to another good cause. Animal Rights 2007, early registration, $120, but it's just $100 if you mention Go Vegan with Bob Linden, farmusa.org, farmusa.org. Spot break two, I go into Leo right now. I want to tell you, Sunshine Burger, this is the burger you should be enjoying since 1983. Now it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Simply delicious. Like the original, certified organic ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. That's it. And delicious. Try it. The Southwestern Sunshine Burger is great also. And look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burger. Enjoy Sunshine Burger, oven-baked, pre-cooked, just heat and serve. If your natural foods market doesn't have it, demand that they carry it. Demand that they get it in. You can go to sunshineburger.com.
Elephants don't belong in zoos. Please let them go to a sanctuary. And that means Maggie in Alaska, too.
Right. And, yes, Ruby, in Los Angeles. Truly Vegan, wonderful restaurant, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. Check it out. The phone number, 323-466-7958, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at the 101 Freeway. This is a wonderful vegan restaurant. It says right on the menu, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society. By using products that are animal-free, we're making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. Find out how good that greater good can taste at Truly. Truly can cater leader, truly delivers, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, from pancakes to vegan meats. You will love Truly. Thanks for listening. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please make a donation to support this show at goveganradio.com.